Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Paul and Jor up at the Northwood Studio on the shoreline of Pelican Lake.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
News Just Talk A3OCCO. Love the northern studio. DJ hanging out with us today. And right now we want to update you on the resentencing of fired Minneapolis Police Chief Mohammed Noor.
Officer.
Police officer. I'm sorry, Mohammed Noor. Mm-hmm. He was convicted in 2019 in the fatal shooting of Justine Ruschek Damond. Noor is serving a 12-and-a-half-year term for fatally shooting Damond back in 2017. He was responding to a 911 call about a possible sexual assault in the alley behind her Southwest Minneapolis home, convicted of second-degree manslaughter. But in a recent unanimous ruling, the Minnesota Supreme Court affirmed what Noor's lawyers have claimed all along since trial, that third-degree murder didn't apply because his actions, Noor's actions, were focused on a single person. With us to try to make sense out of where things are and where they're going is Professor Rachel Paulos. She is at the University of St. Thomas School of Law, former U.S. attorney for the state of Minnesota. Professor Paulos, welcome back.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me.
Can you explain? I'm still a little mystified by the third-degree murder applying to one person. Can you expand on that and just explain what's really going on?
Yes. So in most states, the standard for third-degree murder is that whether you're trying to kill one person or your actions are directed at a crowd of people, you can be convicted of third-degree murder, which is also known as depraved mind murder. In Minnesota, we have had for a long time a different standard that says you cannot be guilty of third-degree murder if your actions are only directed at one person. Wow. And so the classic example of third-degree murder is someone firing randomly into a crowd, not knowing who he's going to shoot, but engaging in such reckless indifference to human life that that he could be considered guilty of depraved mind murder. So the Minnesota, but this was a question because the Minnesota Court of Appeals, which sits right under the Minnesota Supreme Court, said, no, we think we're going to go the way that, most states do, and we're going to say that either one can be third degree murder. And the Minnesota Supreme Court made clear last month that we in Minnesota have a different standard, and you can't be guilty of third degree murder if your actions are directed at one person.
But just to kind of piggyback on this, and it's Jordana, Professor Paulos, thank you for joining
us.
Yes,
absolutely.
Derek Chauvin, it's my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, was convicted of third-degree murder. And describe how that is different, because there was a crowd of people and some of them were minors.
So that is the question that everyone is coming to now, is how does this affect Derek Chauvin's conviction? I think there are two answers to that. One is that Chauvin was convicted not only of third-degree murder, but also of second-degree murder, which is a higher charge. So regardless if the state loses that third-degree murder conviction on appeal, they still have this belt and suspenders plan, which was basically affirmed by the jury when they charged him with second-degree murder. So I don't think this is going to have an impact on Derek Chauvin's sentence unless the entire sentence is overturned for other reasons.
Okay.
Now, I think the second part of your question is, to whom did Derek Chauvin direct his actions? And I think this is a little different in that there was a crowd of people around. Mm-hmm. The state argued that Chauvin did act with malice towards the crowd, that he did point his weapon at them, point his mace at them, that he was trying to intimidate them, that if the crowd had attempted to intervene, as many were vocalizing their support, that Derek Chauvin would have taken physical action, would have harmed members of the crowd. So I think the state has both, you know, legal protection as well as a factual difference in the Derek Chauvin case.
Okay.
Professor Paulus,
certainly does make things harder.
Mm-hmm. Back to Mohammed Noor for a second. Just lay out the scenario. Correct me if I'm wrong. He served about 29 months under state sentencing guidelines. Prisoners must serve 2/3 of their sentence before they are eligible for supervised release. Is it possible he could go free with a resentencing?
Well, the issue for Mohammed Noor's resentencing is that he was convicted of third-degree murder, which has a statutory maximum of 25 years, meaning the judge could sentence him from 0 to 25. In this case, the judge sentenced Noor to 12 years. Now we have a problem because the Minnesota Supreme Court threw out his third-degree murder conviction. So what we have left is second-degree manslaughter, which is the least culpable of all the killing crimes in Minnesota. That statutory maximum is 10 years. That means Noor's original sentence for 12 and a half years can no longer stand. It has to be 10 years or less. And I think if you look at what the judge has done in this case, he did sentence Noor to about half, a little bit under half of what his statutory maximum was before. And presumably the same sentencing rationale will apply. It could be that the judge goes all the way up to 10, certainly has the discretion to do that.
Okay, but he's only served 29 months, so he would, even if it was 10, he still has to serve another maybe 3 years plus before he's eligible for
Got
parole.
It.
Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Okay. Yes.
Okay. Hey, I have a question. We have a question about the Supreme Court. U.S. Senator.
Lots of questions. Yes.
Lots of questions about the Supreme Court. Where to
so
begin?
Do I, actually.
Yeah. But Senator Tina Smith is supporting what many are calling a long shot bill that would add 4 justices to the U.S. Supreme Court. Correct me if I'm wrong, but over the years, the number of justices in the Supreme Court has increased. Why? And so is there precedence for doing this? It would certainly set off political shockwaves. Constitutionally, could this happen?
So under the Constitution, there is no set number of justices to sit on the Supreme Court. It is determined by Congress. And you're right, that number has changed. We've had as few as 6 people sitting on the United States Supreme Court. But importantly, since about the Civil War, 1869, we have had 9 justices sitting on the Supreme Court. So over a century, we've had a pretty consistent number. And the last time a president or a politician put forward a plan to increase the number of justices, it was viewed as an overt political maneuver to get around court rulings that president didn't endorse. And so, of course, I'm referring to President Roosevelt and his court packing plan during the New Deal. What happened was eventually one justice changed his position on fundamental policies that President Roosevelt was trying to push through to get the country past the Great Depression. And we now call it the switch in time that saved 9. So since then, we really have not had a significant challenge to the number of justices.
Please continue. Go ahead. One of the challenges.
I think one of the challenges to this bill is, okay, so the Democrats now control the presidency and the Senate, but if that should change in the future and we don't adhere to sort of this century-long norm of 9, you could see how a different political party could increase the number to 17. One One political commentator has suggested that we have over 20 people sit on the Supreme Court, and on it could go. Basically putting the court in the middle of these political battles.
Why? And I mean, is the number 9 in legal circles? Is that the right number in judicial circles? Do they feel, I know it's been 100 years, and I guess that's been just the way it is for the last century. But I mean, is that the right number? Do you think that that's the right number?
Well, one advantage of having 9 is you're never going to have a tie.
Yeah, right.
And it does give, it, in general, almost every president has had the opportunity to nominate at least one person to the Supreme Court. Some have had more opportunities. Mm-hmm. And I think if justices themselves are concerned that their retirement or demise could affect the political balance of the court, they always have the opportunity to retire early, you know, to choose the date of when they step down. And for some in particular who've had health issues, if they're concerned about who would succeed them, that power is within their own hands to control the timing. And we haven't seen that done as often in the last couple of years. And so I think that is what is causing some of the angst here, unexpected vacancies due to unexpected losses.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Professor Paulos, we sure appreciate your perspective as always. Thanks for joining us today, and we wish you and yours the best. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.